I believe one of the biggest challenges that I have as a parent is to how to pass my values on to my children to help them make right choices. In fact, I think if you did, in many parts of the world, if you did a computer study, what is the number one phrase, a derivative of a phrase used in the last 3 to 4 years, it'd probably be right from wrong. In so many cultures of the world, they keep saying, you know, we no longer can discern right from wrong. My kids no longer understand right from wrong. And so we're going to discuss that today. And I want to start out by an illustration. Over the last 75, maybe close to 80 months, in probably 20 countries of the world, I've called young people up in front of their church. And I often do it on a Sunday morning, and I'll ask the youth director, who is your sharpest kid? Because it usually doesn't matter if that child has been through every single discipleship program of that church. They still answer the same way as if they hadn't been through any of them. And I'll say to the youth director or the youth pastor, who's the sharpest kids in your church? And then I'll call one of them up, and in front of their parents, their pastor, their youth pastor, and the entire Sunday morning, I'll say, if there was a situation out here where if you lied, you'd get out from underneath the circumstances, would you lie? Out of 249 young people, 244 said yes. In fact, most of them would say something like, well, of course. Of the other five, one young lady from an evangelical free church in Wheaton, Illinois, said, I'd have to pray about it. At least she prayed. A young man in a large Baptist church said, boy, that's a tough question, but I don't think I would. And only three out of 249 came out and said, no, I wouldn't lie. And then I took these 249, 100 and some more, a step further to 348 young people. And I said, is lying wrong? Is lying wrong? And 344 immediately said yes. You say, now wait a minute. That doesn't tie together. That 97% said they would lie and 97% said that lying is wrong. That does tie together. Because you see, to understand the new youth culture that's developing all over the world, there's almost zero continuity between belief and behavior. Almost zero continuity. This is why a young man on a Sunday night can be in a church service, and the pastor, the evangelist, will give the sermon, and it may be on sexual purity. And he'll respond and go to the front and kneel at the altar and weep and everything, and all the adults are standing around saying, praise Jesus, isn't that wonderful? Except for the youth pastor. He knows, except in a rare situation, that young man will stand up, walk out of church that night, an hour later be in bed with his girlfriend, and not even tie the two together. That is one of the indicators of the new youth culture. There's almost zero continuity between belief and behavior. That's why 97% said they would lie, and 97% would say lying is wrong. Then I took the 348 a step further. I said, why is lying wrong? Almost straight across the answer was, because my parents taught me it was wrong. Now that's really dumb. In fact, that's rather idiotic. That anything morally is right or wrong because my parents taught me. Now look in the expressions of some of your faces here. I better explain that. If lying is wrong because my mom or my dad taught me it was wrong, then you just justified almost every evil atrocity in the world. Why? Because my parents taught me it was right. You just justified the Holocaust and the killing of 6 million Jewish people by the Nazis because my Nazi parents taught me it was right. Nothing is right or wrong because my parents taught me. And if you think I'm wrong on that, try this out. One of the phrases that so many young people hear today, they will talk to another young person and say, you know, doing that is wrong. That's not right. Maybe sexual involvement or something else. And here's the phrase they'll hear. Look, that's the way your parents taught you. Those are the values your parents taught you. My parents raised me differently. They taught me different values. You need to be tolerant. Don't impose your parents' values upon me. And if you think that anything is right or wrong because you as a parent taught your child, then you better learn an answer to that question because your kids will face it. And then I said, well, how did your parents teach you that something was wrong? And do you realize almost half of those young people could not answer it? They couldn't answer it. 51% said, because the Bible says, thou shalt not lie. Now that's not true. That's dumb. That's like saying something is right or wrong because my parents taught me it was right or wrong. Boy, I better explain that one. Nothing is right or wrong because the Bible says thou shalt not. You say, no, explain that. Well, this is no small matter. A commandment, a precept, merely states what is right or what is wrong. But incorporated within a commandment, thou shalt not, whether the Ten Commandments or what, there is no moral authority to establish why it is right or why it is wrong. A precept or a commandment, like the Ten Commandments, is merely a statement of what is right and what is wrong, but contains no way to understand why it is right or why it is wrong. And then with these 348 young people, I took them a step further. Why does the Bible say, thou shalt not lie? Only three could answer it. Out of 348 young people, only three could answer the question, why does the Bible say, thou shalt not lie? You know what's happened? All over the world, in so many cultures, we are raising young people living out pure, simple legalism. Pure, unadulterated legalism. See, how can you say that? Very easy. In almost every country of the world, you can never, ever, 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 ever find a Christian young person that has any other basis for discerning right from wrong than a precept or a commandment, thou shalt not. That's pure legalism. Now think it through. It's just giving a list of thou shalt and thou shalt nots with absolutely no moral authority of why it is right or why it is wrong. They won't survive. They will not survive. You say, Josh, I disagree with you. That's how my parents raised me. That's how my mother raised me. And I turned out good. Mom, Dad, how you turned out isn't even relevant. You say, what? That's right. Let me make this statement. You raise your children the way your parents raised you, and you can well lose them. Let me repeat that. You raise your children the way your parents raised you, you can well lose them. See, how can you say that? Very simple. You have to understand, all over the world, in almost every country, culture has changed. It has totally changed from the time you as parents were young people and young people today. Let me try to illustrate that. Let me take this lady right here. What's your name? Deborah? Deborah, when you were growing up and your parents took you to church, when the pastor made a statement about a moral issue, thou shalt not. For example, thou shalt not lie. When you went home, that was probably reinforced by your parents. It was reinforced by your peers. It was reinforced by your culture. It was reinforced by your music. It was reinforced by your teacher. Whatever the pastor normally preached in the pulpit was reinforced in the home. That is no longer true. Now, in so many cultures of the world, when the pastor makes a statement about right from wrong and says, thou shalt not, and I would say in my country, in the United States here, that in the finest churches in America, When that young person goes home, what the pastor just preached in the pulpit about a moral issue is not reinforced by the parents. It flies in the face of their peers, of their culture, of their teacher, of their government, everything. You raise your children the way your parents raised you, and you can lose them. Because the whole situation has changed. You say, well, how do we teach our children right from wrong? How do we give them a moral authority of what is right and what is wrong and why? See, that's the key. I have three daughters and a son. And I love being a dad. And I believe one of my responsibilities is passing on biblical values to my children that they might make right choices. Now, I want Kelly, Sean, Katie, and Heather to know what is right and what is wrong. But if I truly want my kids to survive, not only survive, but to grow and thrive in their walk with Christ, I cannot stop raising my children with telling them what is right and what is wrong, or thou shalt not. I'll lose them. Now, when you were growing up, that's all you needed. Why? Because so much around you reinforced what your parents taught you. But that's no longer true. Now it flies in the face of it. So if I want my children to not only survive, but to thrive in their walk with Christ, I can't stop by teaching them what is right and what is wrong. I must take them a step further and teach them why are certain things right and why are certain things wrong. See, many parents today all over the world didn't need that when they were growing up. Now, if you don't have it, you will die. You will not survive spiritually except in a rare situation. Now, what is the basis of not what is right and what is wrong, but why is it right and why is it wrong? To illustrate why things are right and why things are wrong that will lead to right choices, I'm going to call a young man up here to help me. I want to say this fellow right over here. Come on up. No, you. Come on up here. Right over here. Now, you're going to have to speak up because I have the microphone and you don't.
Okay, sure.
What's your name?
Dave.
How old are you, David?
15.
15. Now, what I want you to do is turn around and face me. And let's say you're my son and I'm your dad. And what I want to do is share with you the way I do with my daughters and my son, not just David, what is right and what is wrong, but rather why are certain things right and why are certain things wrong, okay? Mm-hmm. You start out with understanding right from wrong with three steps. The first is a precept. Dave, a precept is like thou shalt not or thou shalt, state in the negative or the positive. Now, behind every precept, thou shalt not, like in the Bible says, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not kill, etc. Behind every precept, David, is a principle. A principle. Now, what is a principle? A principle is a broad standard or norm. Now, here's the difference between a precept and a principle. A precept deals with a very specific moral issue. A principle deals with many moral issues. In other words, a precept is the application of a broad moral principle, and I'll illustrate this later, a broad moral principle to a very specific moral issue. In other words, it's like, you know what a funnel is?
Yeah.
You know, the big part of the funnel comes down. The large part of the funnel, David, is the principle. The spout is the precept. In other words, the spout focuses it down. Now, to be biblical, a funnel would have to have four or five spouts. Why? A principle applies to a number of different moral issues. Now, here's the key. Behind every precept is a principle. Now, this is what takes it out of legalism. Behind every principle is the person and character and nature of God Himself. Now, let me illustrate this. Precept, principle, person. Now, why does the Bible say, thou shalt not lie? The reason is, because the very person and character and nature of God is truth. Jesus said, remember, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Because the very person and character and nature of God is truth. There's a moral principle called honesty, which is true for all people in all places at all times. Now, because of that moral principle of honesty, out of that comes that specific precept, thou shall not lie. Why? Because of my parents? No. Because of my pastor? No. Because of my teacher? No. But because of the very person and character and nature of God is truth. Precept, principle, person. Look at it this way. Do you believe killing is wrong?
Yes.
Why?
Because the Bible says, thou shalt not kill.
Okay, David. Why does the Bible say, thou shalt not kill? That's a tough one, isn't it? Now, what? Let's walk through it now. Precept, principle, person. The reason, David, the Bible says, thou shalt not kill, is because the very person and character and nature of God is life. Remember Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it says that God created life in his image and said, it is good. Because the very person and character and nature of God is life. There's a moral principle, David, called the sanctity of life. You've heard of that. Well, that comes out of the very person and character and nature of God. And because of that moral principle called the sanctity of life, there's that specific precept, thou shalt not kill. Why? Because God is life. Now, lying is wrong because God is truth. Killing is wrong, David, because God is life. Now, let's see if we can go some steps further. Now, David, think it through. Impurity is wrong because God is
pure.
Right! Because the very person and character and nature of God is pure. See, it's the nature of God that is the basis of not only what is right and what is wrong, but why is it right and why is it wrong? Let's go a step further. Let's see if you can get this one. Injustice is wrong because God is
just.
That's right. Now, you won't get this one. Okay, you got it? Turn around and face me a little more here. You won't get, nobody ever gets this one. One-on-one. Okay? Hatred is wrong because God is
love.
You're right! That's right. Because the very person and character and nature of God is love. Now let's walk through it. Lying is wrong because God is truth. Killing is wrong because God is
life.
Injustice is wrong because God is
just.
Impurity is wrong because God is
pure.
Love is right because God is
love.
That's right. I fooled you for it, didn't I? Because God is love. David, look at me. I want you to remember the very basis of what is right and what is wrong is not our parents. It's not our church. It's not our pastor. It's not our teacher. It's not our government. It's the very person and character and nature of God. That is not only what is right and what is wrong, but why it is right and why it is wrong. Anything contrary to the very person and character and nature of God is false. And that which is compatible with the holy, just, righteous nature of God is right. Thanks, David. I hope you learned a little there. Precept, principle, person. The basis of right from wrong is the person and character and nature of God himself. Now here's the problem we face. So often when we make a statement, thou shalt not, a precept, in so many people, not only young people, older people, negative attitudes. Why? We think God is negative. We think all that God wants to do is take the fun out of life. Why? Because for so many adults, and even for young people, you go to church, you listen to your parents, it's don't do this, don't do that. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. The Bible says thou shalt not. And we think God is negative. After I trusted Christ as Savior and Lord in university, one of the three most significant thoughts ever to pass my mind is when I realized every single time in the Bible, when there appears to be a negative statement or commandment or precept, thou shalt not, it is always positive. You say, now wait a minute. How do you get a positive out of a negative? Every time the Word of God says, thou shalt not, it is positive. Now let me illustrate that. And this is critical to communicating to our kids. And when I grasped this, it totally changed my perspective of who God is and the relationship I have with Him. In Deuteronomy 10, God is trying to get His people to obey His commandments. And it says this, "My commandments are for your good." Every single commandment of God, whether stated in the negative or the positive, is for our good. Why? Because every single commandment has two principles in it. Every one of them. One, to protect you, and one, to provide for you. Every single time God says, "Thou shall not," it is always to protect and to provide. This is why God said, "My commandments are for your good." Why? Because they protect you and they provide for you. Let me illustrate that. It's like an umbrella. If it's raining outside, you go to the door, you put up an umbrella. As long as you stay under that umbrella, you are under its protection and you're under its provision. You're protected from the rain and you're provided with dryness. But when by an act of your will, you move out from underneath that umbrella, you are removed from its protection and provision, and there's consequences. You get wet. There's consequences. Now let me try to give a word picture for that. This happened about 9 years ago. A young man by the name of Greg. He was in his last year of high school, very athletic. It was a Saturday night, very hot out, and his girlfriend was over. And like two teenagers on a hot Saturday night, they wanted to go swimming. And Greg had heard that a block and a half down the alley, some neighbors with a big swimming pool were away on vacation. And so they decided to go there swimming. So they put on their swimming suits, threw towels over their shoulders, ran down the alley, crossed the street, into the next alley, and came to the house. And the parents, the family was away. They were on vacation. And here was a big swimming pool with a wooden fence around it. But it also had a lot of precepts. No trespassing. Y'all have heard that one. Do not enter. No swimming permitted. Come on. Two teenagers on a hot Saturday night and only a wooden fence between you and water. So Greg went up over the fence, and then his girlfriend went up over the fence. And as his girlfriend kind of casually walked to the edge of the pool, Greg was showing off like a 17-year-old. And he got back, and he charged that diving board. And he hit that diving board, went into a full dive. And at the peak of his dive, his girlfriend screamed, "No!" They had drained the pool to paint it when they returned home. And it was less than 11 inches of water. And because the lights were not on, and with the blue painting around the pool, they couldn't see there wasn't any water in it. And what happened was, at a full dive, he hit the bottom of the pool and snapped his neck. Later, when I shared that with my children, I said, "Kids, you can trust your father on this one." I said, "Every waking moment, every sleeping thought, one thing would be going through Greg's mind the rest of his life. Those neighbors didn't put those precepts there. No trespassing. Do not enter. No swimming. To take the fun out of Greg's life. They were put there to protect him and to provide for him." But I said, "Kids, do you understand that when by an act of Greg's will, when he ignored those precepts and scaled the fence, he removed himself," can you see this? "He removed himself from the protection and provision of those precepts." God's precepts are like an umbrella. Every one of them is positive. He says, "Thou shalt not." It's always an act of love to protect us and to provide for us. But when, through an act of disobedience, by a decision of our own will, we ignore God's precepts, we remove ourselves from the very protection and provision of those precepts. The very basis of why things are right and why things are wrong, it's not our parents. It's not our church. It's not our pastor. Nothing that the pastor teaches is right or wrong because he teaches it. But I trust he teaches it because it is right or wrong. A pastor, like parents, we are to be the channels of what is right and what is wrong, not the source of what is right and what is wrong. The very source, the very basis of why things are right and why things are wrong is the very person and character and nature of God Himself. And I want you to remember this. Lying is wrong because God is truth. Killing is wrong because God is life. Hatred is wrong because God is love. Injustice is wrong because God is just. Impurity is wrong because God is pure. It is the very character and nature of God that we need to understand in order to be able to see why things are right and why things are wrong.